Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, you are now locked into WKAR's current sports. We are coming to you on this hump day, February 5th, 2020. Or no, it is Tuesday. Isn't today Tuesday? Am I getting my days mixed up, Alec?
It is Wednesday.
Is it Wednesday?
Dude, yeah, it's Wednesday.
See, it feels like, why does it feel like a Tuesday to me? See, it's just to show you how crazy, just how crazy this week has already been. How crazy yesterday was. I don't even know what day it is today. I didn't leave here until about 4:30 a.m. And that was because of what occurred yesterday after we got off the air. Wild, wild Tuesday. And, you know, I have to give some props to Jack Kerwin, because you guys know, for those who tuned in to the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports, while we were on the air, Jack was behind the glass and he chimed in and said, Al, there's a rumor, a very big rumor out there that involves a pretty big name in Michigan State sports. And I said, okay, what's the rumor? He said, I don't want to say what the rumor is because the source that it's coming from, at least from what he saw, was not real credible. So he didn't want to throw it out there, and but he did say it did pertain to Michigan State football. So I said, wow, talk about a tease. And we just kind of left it at that. And Jack and I said, all right, we'll talk about it off the air. We didn't want to throw out anything out there, throw out any speculation that didn't come from a pretty big source. And immediately after I got off the air, I saw what he was talking about. It was a tweet from some, like, Twitter, Michigan State Twitter blog account, Twitter account. And it talked about Mark D'Antonio possibly retiring that day. And I said, okay, well, that's just some Michigan State blog Twitter account putting that out there. And then not too long after that, you start to see the news percolate all throughout social media. And you start to slowly but surely see credible sources out there confirm that, yes, they had heard that Mark D'Antonio was indeed going to step down and retire. And then, not too long ago after that, we saw the tweet coming from Mark D'Antonio himself. Mark D'Antonio putting it out there that he indeed was stepping down as the head coach of the Michigan State football team. Mark, actually, he tweeted that out at 2:43 p.m. yesterday. That is the exact timestamp of when we all got the news that it was official. And I was shocked, just like many of you. Many of you are still trying to process this news. Mark D'Antonio really just retire and put out that tweet? And then, you know, I'm sitting there, you know, reading the tweet that reads, to all Spartans, thank you for everything. You have truly helped my dreams come true. And I'm reading this letter from him, and I'm like, well, is he just going to tweet it? And then a little bit after that, I got an email from Michigan State Athletics saying that Mark D'Antonio was going to speak to the media at 6:30 p.m. So we, of course, are going to talk about Mark D'Antonio's retirement. I'm going to try to you know, put you in the room with me, and I'll sort of describe what the mood was like, what the vibe was like being at the Breslin Center just moments before the Michigan State men's basketball game against Penn State. We got to talk about that one as well, right? We'll get to that later on in the hour, but the main news is we'll start with D'Antonio retiring. But I'll take you in that room and kind of paint the picture of what it was like to be in that room. You get my thoughts on the retirement. I got some things to get off my chest when it comes to this. So stick around for that. Also, we will welcome to the show a brother who I had the pleasure of covering when he laced up the cleats for the green and white from 2010 to 2013, Benny Fowler, Michigan State wide receiver, former Michigan State wide receiver, and NFL pro. He's had stints with the Denver Broncos, the Chicago Bears, the New England Patriots, in which he actually won a ring with, and also the New York Giants. Benny Fowler is going to join us on the year. Now, no, this was actually a previously scheduled interview. It just so happens that this interview comes the day after Mark D'Antonio decides to step down. So we'll get Benny's thoughts on his coach stepping down. And also, Benny Fowler has a really dope book that has hit the bookshelves that I also want to highlight. You don't want to miss that chat. So we'll do all of that while, of course, inviting you all to be a part of the hour. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Also, as I pubbed yesterday, you can now text that number to be a part of the show. You can text us. So if you're a bit shy and, you know, I don't want to really be on the air, I don't like talking on the air, I'm shy, just text us. Just shoot a text. We all text. Just text us. I would love to hear from you. Text that same number, 517-355-WKAR. You can also comment right below the live stream like many of you are already doing right now at facebook.com/WKARnews. You can tweet us. So many ways you can weigh in now. You can tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. We've got behind the glass the great Alec Rio, as well as current sports production assistant Dervon Thompson, doing an outstanding job along with the Journalism 418 class, providing content and commentary throughout this semester. Much thanks to them as always. But Alec, let's push along here and hit our audience with our current sports quick hit headliners. We start here, of course, as I just stated, Mark D'Antonio is, he has retired as the head coach of the Michigan State football team. The man who turned a program that had only had two 10-win seasons in its history into a Big Ten powerhouse that would eventually see five 11-plus win seasons in a six-year stretch. The man who would give the Spartans a Rose Bowl and Cotton Bowl dub. Three Big Ten championship wins, three more than the sibling school just down the road. The man who compiled a 114-57 record, giving him the title of the all-time winningest coach in Michigan State football history. One heck of a ride. These past 13 seasons, Mark D'Antonio has retired at 63 years old. He announced yesterday afternoon that, you know, he wants to reset. And, you know, look at this program as an opportunity for it to move into a different direction. And he thought that doing it after this year was the right time for him to walk away, I should say. So he wants to spend more time with his wife and children. That's what he stated. at his press conference. And he also will stay in a capacity with the program, which I'll get to later on this hour as well. But this comes just one day after former recruiting coordinator Curtis Blackwell filed an update in an ongoing lawsuit claiming that Coach D and the Spartans committed multiple NCAA recruiting violations. Now, Blackwell said Coach D helped arrange jobs for multiple high-level recruits, their parents, I should say, for multiple high-level recruits, and also took Blackwell on recruiting visits, which is against NC2A rules because Blackwell was not an on-field coach. More on that in just a moment. All right, I'm going to have more discussion on that in just a moment. But the timing of this is a bit weird. Can't lie. Got to address that elephant in the room, which I'll do in just a moment. And also, today is, you know, this news comes just a day before Michigan State signing day. You know, football signing day is today. And this happens a day before that. So at least one of Michigan State's three unsigned 2020 recruits says that he will be, you know, sticking with the Spartans. Actually, you know, I got official word in my email about this not too long ago. Michigan State today, MSU football has officially signed Donovan England and Josiah Robinson to national letters of intent. That is official. So Michigan State football has added those two players to that 2020 recruiting class. Donovan England is a running back. Robinson is a defensive end. And Michigan State signed 19 players to national letters of intent during the first signing period, which happens around mid-December, December 18th, to be exact. So there is still one player that is looks as though he's going to open up his recruitment, because the other recruit is Jordan Simmons, who announced that he will be postponing his signing for now. This is what he wrote, quote, due to the unforeseen retirement of Coach D'Antonio and after discussing things with my family, I have decided to delay my signing with Michigan State University until further notice. I love everything that Michigan State has to offer, and I appreciate the love and support that the fan base has shown me. However, with the uncertainty of the MSU program, I have decided to take some time to weigh out my options and think about where I will spend the next 4 years. So Simmons committed to Michigan State in October. He was recently at the school on an official visit. Prior to D'Antonio's resignation, Simmons had spurned other schools in favor of sticking with his commitment to Michigan State, but that looks like it's not the case anymore. All right, Michigan State men's basketball fell to Penn State 75-70 at the Breslin Center in East Lansing last night. Again, this came right after the news of Mark D'Antonio deciding to retire. The Nittany Lions extended their winning streak to 5 games, which includes victories over Ohio State, Michigan, and Indiana, as well as its first win at Nebraska since 95. And according to The Athletic, Penn State is the first Big Ten team to win at Michigan and Michigan State in the same season since 2012-2013, when Indiana accomplished that feat. All right, Ohio State topped Michigan 61-58 for its third straight win last night out in A-squared. Ohio State junior forward Caleb Wesson led the way with a game-high 23 points, 12 boards. Sophomore guard Dwayne Washington added 17 points of his own. Xavier Simpson led the way for the Maize and Blue, 15 points for him. The Wolverines now fall to 13-9 on the year, and a surprising 4-7 Big Ten campaign so far under Juwan Howard. Next game, a big one. Rivalry week is here, folks. This Saturday at noon, Chrysler Center, Michigan and Michigan State. More conversation on that rivalry game, I'm guessing, later on this week. Probably not today, but later on this week. And less than a year after receiving his first NBA start with the Miami Heat, the former Michigan Wolverines guard and Duncan Robinson has been invited to compete in the league's annual three-point contest. Robinson certainly earned the opportunity. He's right now sixth in the NBA in three-pointers made per game with 3.4 and also three-point percentage shooting the deep ball at a 43.9% clip in his first full season and a regular in Miami's starting lineup. The Heat, at 34-15, have the fourth best record in the NBA's Eastern Conference. Also, Some more news concerning Michigan State here. Portions of former Michigan State AD Mark Hollis's deposition about Austin Robertson's recruitment by now former coach Mark D'Antonio must remain sealed from public view. A federal judge ruled that last night. Attorneys for former MSU staffer Blackwell had appealed the ruling from a magistrate sealing the document. Judge Janet Neff of Michigan's Western District, she made the ruling. Blackwell was suing Michigan State, Mark Hollis, Mark D'Antonio, saying that they terminated him wrongly. Also, two Michigan State detectives are named in that lawsuit as well. The portion of the deposition where Hollis was questioned under oath dealing with Robertson was unrelated or tangential to the lawsuit. Hollis was actually deposed in Grand Rapids on October 22nd. And all-time MLB hits leader Pete Rose has once again petitioned Major League Baseball for reinstatement. And this time he cited the Astros of Houston, that sign-stealing scandal, as evidence for his case to be reinstated. Rose and his attorneys have submitted to MLB Commish Rob Manfred a 20-page petition for reinstatement. That's according to ESPN's Don Vannetta Jr. In that petition, Rose cites the recent Astros sign-stealing scandal and the fact that no player was punished for it as evidence in his favor. Rose, now 78 years old, has been on the permanently ineligible list since 1989 when he agreed to that punishment as a consequence for his gambling on MLB games. Alleged at the time, but since confirmed. All right, and last but not least, this is wild. What's a Kansas City Super Bowl celebration without a good old-fashioned police chase? I kid you not. Parade attendees were thoroughly entertained this morning as a vehicle drove through the barricade and drove into the parade's route, prompting a heavy police presence chasing them. Yeah, can you believe that? Now, a pit maneuver from one officer's vehicle sent the trespassing driver's vehicle spinning to a stop. Two people were arrested as a result. The incident occurred at 8:12 a.m., dangerously close to the crowd of fans. Thank goodness nobody was hurt. No injuries were reported. The driver of the vehicle is under investigation for impairment, according to a police statement. Shortly after the pursuit concluded, the car was towed from the scene. Maybe they were 49ers fans. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing.
If there's any Michigan State people out there that are abusing some of my players on that frickin' Twitter, I'm sick of it. Okay? I'm sick of dealing with what I got to deal with on that. So if they are Michigan State fans, I'd be more than happy to buy their tickets. And I mean that. I mean that. Now, if they're not, but some of the stuff that my guys have put in front of me the last couple of days, I mean, we're still 16-7. We're not 5-20. I'm pretty proud of this place. I'm pretty proud of the 550,000 living alums. And it's despicable on some of the things that have gone out there about some of our guys that have given more to this program than most of those alums or most of those people sitting behind a chicken keyboard. So we're going to show up. We're going to show up to answer the question. We're going to practice harder. We're going to be harder on them. We can't be too hard on them. No. Let's be real about this. We got to make sure we balance everything. And I'm going to balance it the best I can balance it. But we can't keep turning the ball over. And if that doesn't change, I'm going to just have to make sure it does change, because there's no question that has cost us some games. And this was one of the worst when you look at the points off of turnovers. But I'm asking all Michigan State fans, real fans, to understand. I get paid a lot of money, so take your shots at me. But don't take them on a kid who's been a 3-7 student, who's done more for this university than most of those people have. I just, it's despicable to me, so. That's my shout out to my either people that love me or people that hate me. Another question.
Anything else, guys?
Day. You know, that was one of those days in Michigan State sports history that you would like to forget. You know, you would like to push that day way in the back of your noggin. You would like to look at that day and say, let's just throw that day in the trash. That didn't happen. That did not happen to me as a Michigan State sports fan. But you can't. You can't, because it was such a glaringly bad day to be a Michigan State sports fan. You know, now let's be all the way transparent here. You know, to steal a line from the great Michael Todd, let's keep it hot. Let's keep it hot. Honest, open, and transparent, like we always do here on Current Sports. Many of you had been hoping that Mark D'Antonio was going to retire and step down after this past season. We've had that conversation numerous times here on Current Sports. It has not been a great stint these last 3-4 years for Michigan State football. But we heard Mark D'Antonio comment just before the end of 2019 that he fully expected to be the head coach of this program come the opening game in the 2020-2021 season against Northwestern. And he referenced a quote from his dad that basically talked about finishing what you started. He wanted a chance to right the ship, so to speak. So we fully expected, okay, Mark D'Antonio is going to come back. But if you are going to step down, there's a certain way you do it. And I have to be completely honest with you. Now, I know some Spartan fans out there are going to be like, you know, it's a swan song for Mark D'Antonio now, and he did it the right way, and you know, everybody's trying to look at this very positive. I get it. But you cannot ignore just how bad optically this looks. Keep it all the way to 1,000. Because there's a few aspects of this that make you wonder, why February 4th? Why February 4th? You know, first off, it looks bad from this perspective. Timing-wise. Because February 4th is past the January 15th deadline, I guess you can say. Because January 15th is when Mark D'Antonio received that $4.3 million bonus. Basically a performance bonus when you really look at it. Based on his long success that he's had throughout his 13-year tenure here at Michigan State. You know, the Rose Bowl win, the college football playoff appearance, the Cotton Bowl win, the Big Ten championships. Mark D'Antonio is the greatest Michigan State football coach of all time. No doubting that whatsoever. And that's the reason why he got that $4.3 million if he was still the head coach at that time. Past that deadline, you cash that check. But and this is why it looks so fishy. If you're going to step down, I could have fully understood if he did this, you know, after that, but it was still in the month of January. Like late January, okay, I got my check. let me say goodbye. But again, he had already made the statement that he wanted to come back. He fully expected to come back. Bill Beekman came out and said that, yeah, I fully support that. Mark D'Antonio is still our leader. I think President Samuel Stanley also said, hey, we love Coach D, and he's the right man for the job. And President Stanley, I mean, he's got other things to worry about as far as healing this university. And you know, he's got more important things to worry about than the Michigan State football team, to be quite honest. So you're hearing all this support, and you hear Mark D'Antonio make that statement. But then on February 4th, the news comes down. Not only is it past the deadline where you already got your $4.3 million, but it also comes a day before signing day, where you have walked in the respective living rooms of many recruits out there and promised them that, yeah, we want you to be a part of our Michigan State football tradition. You know, talking to parents, you know, what we promise you're going to take care of your young man and turn him into a man, take him from a boy to a man and giving this spiel, and you're out in the recruiting trail and, you know, you're promising all these things to these young men. And then the day before they sign on the dotted line, you chuck up the deuces? That does not sound right to me. Let's just use some common sense here. That does not sound right. And then this is the big one. This is the big one. I've already addressed it in our headliners. I can't ignore this. The fact that Mark D'Antonio decided to step down the day of the report that was, I saw, first published by the Detroit News concerning allegations centered on Mark D'Antonio that state that he may have committed NCAA violations. The day that report comes out, it was actually filed on Monday evening. The report came out on Tuesday morning. Curtis Blackwell, former Michigan State football staffer, alleging that D'Antonio had Blackwell accompany him on an in-home recruiting visit. That's a violation of NCAA rules, if true. Also, it states D'Antonio's deposition may have revealed NCAA violations related to a booster, quote, providing the parents of star recruits jobs or employment upon signing to play for Michigan State football. I mean, that alludes to perjury. Again, these are allegations, but the day that report is revealed to the public eyeball, Mark D'Antonio sends out in a tweet that he's retiring. I don't know, man. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just laying it out there. And optically, it's not great timing. It looks bad. Got to address that elephant in the room. Now, as far as Mark D'Antonio and what he gave to this university and that Michigan State football program, it is rivaled by none. Mark D'Antonio is the greatest Michigan State football coach of all time. He has transformed the lives of many young men who have played under him. He has put Michigan State football on the map when nobody was even thinking about Michigan State football. I mean, this is a program that once played in the college football playoff. Many people forget that. All of the success that Mark D'Antonio had on the football gridiron cannot be argued. And it's a reason why I still think that Mark D'Antonio is going to get that statue. He's going to get that statue at Spartan Stadium. Amazing accomplishments. But the way it ended, the way this 13-year tenure ended yesterday, For me, it was sad. It was sad to see that. You know, especially as the press conference is about to end, you know, Dan Murphy of ESPN, and he had to ask it because ESPN has been looking for this. They've been prying for this for the drama here at Michigan State for a long, long time now. They've been reporting on this for a long, long time. Paul Levine and Dan Murphy and company. You know, Dan had to ask this question because his job his job wants those answers. After all of the questions concerning, you know, Mark's decision and what led to it and thoughts on his success and his legacy. Now, credit to Larry Lage. Larry Lage did also ask, you know, if the drama that has been the Curtis Blackwell lawsuit, if it played a factor in his retirement at all. He said no, zero. And then Dan Murphy, it was a quick quote. So I knew before, and Dan was asking for the mic. He never got it. It was so packed in there. I tried to even ask a question, but I was way in the back. It was just jam-packed in the room. And Dan, you know, he didn't get the mic. But before Coach D left the podium, he said, Mark, you got time for one more question? And he said, yeah, what is it? And he said, is there anything you want to say to Curtis or about that situation? And he said, look, you know, I've tried my best to not say anything negative about anybody. And then there was a follow-up that Dan was going to ask, and he said, no, we're not doing that here. This is, quote, this is a celebration. But the fact that Coach D is, you know, is even being asked that question on what is supposed to be, you know, retirement is supposed to be a celebratory moment, especially for a man like Coach D, who has had so much success here. That is supposed to be, like Coach D said, it's supposed to be a celebration. But everybody knows, Spartan fans, you know, that with everything going on with this program and what's happened in recent years and the lack of success on the field and the drama off of it, it is hard to look at this moment, especially the timing of it. It's hard to look at it as a celebration. Thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And where does Michigan State football go from here? You can also text that same number, 517-355-9527. Comments are flowing in at facebook.com/WKARnews. I'll get to those later on this hour. You can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKARnews. We'll get the thoughts of Alec Rio behind the glass later on this hour because when we come back from this first break, we will be talking with a former player under Coach D, the great Benny Fowler. Michigan State wide receiver from 2010 to 2013, NFL pro. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Hump Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. It's a weird show. Can't even lie to you. A weird show. I did not think that I would be sitting here talking about Mark D'Antonio retiring as head coach of the Michigan State football team. Did not think that that's how today's show was going to go. Did not think that news was going to break this week, let alone yesterday. And coupled with that, Michigan State men's basketball, we're going to have a coming to the man upstairs moment when it comes to Michigan State basketball later on this hour, because I got some questions. But before we get to that, we do have Benny Fowler waiting. Before we get to Benny, quick call coming from our former Current Sports. He hung up. Oh, Connor got cold feet. Okay, good. He's coming. He's going to call later after the interview. That's good. Connor, that's the thought process of a former engineer. Like, Benny Fowler's waiting. We don't want to make Benny Fowler wait longer than he's already waited. So he's like, I'll call back later. Thank you for that, Connor. Connor, call back later. Because we do have to get to Benny Fowler. I know he's a busy man. Fowler, that name, you know, rings a bell for many of our current sports listeners and Michigan State fans out there, because he certainly made his imprint on Michigan State football when he was a player from 2010 to 2013. Then he went on to have a stint in the NFL with the Denver Broncos, the Chicago Bears, the New England Patriots, and the New York Giants. I know he's a free agent still. Benny Fowler, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing, Benny?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic, brother. I just want to get right to it, man, because, you know, we plan, and I'm still going to get to this, of course. You know, the centerpiece of this interview is centered on your fantastic piece of work that you've put out. You are now an author. Before we get to that, I do want to open up the mic for you to give thoughts on the breaking news that happened yesterday that has shocked Spartan fans from here to Pluto. That's Mark D'Antonio retiring after 13 seasons. You played under Coach D. I know you did have a social media post yesterday about it, but your thoughts on the retirement news and what Coach D meant to you?
It was 13 great years. I love Coach D. I love just the way he was, the way he went about things as a coach. He really cared about us. One of my favorite stories about Coach D is, you know, a Friday night before a game, you know, we were having a team meal, and he didn't like, you know, the way we were eating and the conversations, people chewing with food in their mouths, people on their cell phones. And that Monday after that game, he gave us an etiquette class, the whole team, on how to have proper dinner conversation, eat a three-course meal, how to use the right forks, knives, proper dinner conversation if you're the guest or if you're hosting the dinner. So definitely cared about us as players. It wasn't just about wins and losses. Really enjoyed my time up there at Michigan State with him and the staff and all my friends and teammates. So, yeah, it was a little bit shocking, but, you know, he had a great career at Michigan State, best coach of all time, most wins, everything that he accomplished there, all the graduates, all the people that went on to the NFL. So, you know, very happy for him, and I hope he enjoys retirement.
Without a doubt. And Benny, that is hilarious, and I think it gives us a window into the mindset of Coach D. It wasn't always just about football. It was preparing you guys for life after football and how to operate in a setting such as sitting down to have, you know, dinner etiquette, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because football is not going to last forever, and I think he was trying to get that into the minds of players, that when you go to a dinner and you have a business dinner, the way we were eating that day, he was like, that's just not acceptable. And he really cares about us as people, so he wanted to change that and help us understand that.
Oh, that's a great story. Benny, what made you commit to Mark D'Antonio? What made you buy in and say that I want to play for that man?
A lot of the principles and things that he stood for are a lot of the principles that my parents had instilled in me at an early age. And when I was getting recruited up there and, you know, meeting Coach Treadwell, Coach Enos at the time, who were coaches on the staff. Well, Coach Treadwell was back there on the staff. But meeting those guys, they embodied that as well. So I knew it was a no-brainer. And it was just a family atmosphere when I went up there. And that's the same family atmosphere that I still have with my Spartan dogs to this day. It's just how close we are, how family-oriented we are.
Benny, how tough has it been to watch from afar the national criticism that not only Michigan State football has undergone in recent years, and also I throw Michigan State basketball in there, but just this university as a whole? I mean, the Larry Nassar scandal, you know, you've gone on to have a great pro football career, and, you know, I don't know if at times you've thought about how you would handle that as a player if that kind of situation was happening when you were still here. But how tough has it been for you to watch this from afar?
It's just tough because, you know, I care for these guys as people. I know these people that, you know, are on TV that, you know, when they're talking about Coach D and Coach Izzo and, you know, these people have been in my home. They know my family. My brother's on the basketball staff up there. So it's, you know, it's tough from that. It's tough for, you know, people to talk about my school that I love so much and so dearly. So yeah, it's tough about that. But if I was up there right now, I would just stay focused on the task at hand if I was a player. which is to win games, enjoy my time as a student, get my degree, and just continue to make the most out of every single day and just take it one day at a time and make the most of my relationships and enjoy just every single day that I have up there. So that's what I would tell the players. If I was, if I could talk to them right now, that's what I would tell them. And if I was up there, that's what I would do. I would just try to enjoy every single day because there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. And, you know, some of it's speculation, some of it's, you know, that Larry Nassar stuff, you know, that stuff is just super unfortunate. And you feel bad for all those victims. You know, that's just not acceptable in our world. So, but it is tough when they talk about Michigan State. Yes.
Yeah, well, without a doubt, man. And I mean, you're a man. You were a part of that that Michigan State Rose Bowl championship team. That had to be one of your favorite memories, right under Coach D.
Yeah, no doubt. When I look back at it, yeah, it was one of my favorite memories, beating Michigan that year the way we beat them. But you know, just actually when I look back on it, the year before when we went 7-6, just all the lessons that we learned. Mm-hmm. And how positive we stayed, and then carrying that over to the next season to go 13-1, that made that season that much sweeter.
Without a doubt. All right, Benny, let's get to it, man. Because I was definitely excited when I saw this come across my social media timeline not too long ago. But you are now an author. You have a book out entitled "Silver Spoon: The Imperfect Guide to Success." Now, before you dive into what this piece of work is about, when did you first think to yourself that you wanted to become an author and put out something?
Probably like 2 years ago. I had got cut from Chicago, and I was at home for about three to four weeks before I got signed to New England and then went on to New York. But I was like, you know, what am I going to do when football is done? So I wanted to write a book and share some of the stories and some of the people that I've learned from who are in my life about achieving success, goal setting, handling adversity, discipline, all the things that you need to have success. So I wanted to share that with people and help people understand it doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, entrepreneur in the Fortune 500 business, doesn't matter what it is, you're going to have to apply some of these principles, but you can learn and get inspired from some of these people in my book as well as myself.
And who are some of those people that you highlight in this book, Benny? Because, you know, I'm big on self-help books. I've got like a stack at my apartment right now that I'm still pouring through. And I'm wondering what makes yours stand out from the rest, and what are some of the people that you highlight? Who are some of the people, excuse me, that you highlight in this book?
I wouldn't call my book a self-help book. It would be like a self-actualizing book, because I think we all have these principles and we all have these things within us. They just have to be. You might just, you know, have to get inspired. You might get inspired by a story.
Oh, do we have Benny? Is Benny still?
We all. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, you cut out just for like 2 seconds there. I'm sorry, Benny. Go ahead.
Yeah. So yeah, this is a self-actualizing book. So we have, you guys, everybody has everything within them. They just have to get it out of them. So, you know, you just might have to have some inspiration. You might get some inspiration from Draymond or Darquest, two people from Michigan State that I learned from, who are friends of mine, who have inspired me in many different ways. I also have people like Desiree Thomas, who is from Michigan, who is an entrepreneur, started her own clothing line in New York. Or my brother, who, you know, wanted to be a professional athlete, wanted to be a professional basketball player, and he did that for maybe a couple years, but he's going to be able to impact so many more lives through coaching. Or my father, who was the vice president at Ford at one time, or my mom, who was also a real estate lawyer, also a superintendent of Detroit Public Schools. So you'll learn from people like that, and you'll just get an understanding that you have everything within you. But success doesn't just happen, you know, success doesn't happen in a day. It happens every single day. So you have to win the days, and that's what people will learn throughout this book.
Preach on, Benny. That is absolutely fantastic. And I don't – can you give us a little tease as to what you learned from Draymond in the book, as to some of the lessons that he taught you?
In the book, I mean, he shares some principles, but, you know, Draymond and I have a very great relationship. You know, we're like brothers. You know, I'm going to be one of the best men in his wedding this upcoming summer.
Wow.
So we're super close, but we've been close since high school. People don't know that we met in high school. We didn't meet at Michigan State. We became real close at Michigan State, but I tell people in the book, and I tell people all the time, that you have to surround yourself with the right people. Now, I knew Draymond really cared about me, not only as a player, but as a person. When he would come to Michigan State football summer conditioning, and he wanted to make sure that I was finishing in the top players during conditioning, because he knew how talented I was. So the fact that he would come or check up on me with some of the coaches, you can ask the coaches up there, strength coaches, like Draymond would always check on me. How's he doing? Is he working hard, or is he just coasting by? So you need people like that in your life. You have to surround yourself with good people. Success, the most successful people in the world have successful people around them to help them become successful. So I feel like people would understand that. That's what they'll understand about Draymond, is as well as, you know, just how confident he is and who he is as a person.
That is so, so true, Benny. I mean, if you want to be a lion, you got to surround yourself with lions, right?
Absolutely. No doubt about that.
I love that, man. And why the title? You call it Silver Spoon, the imperfect guide to success. Why did you finalize on that title? What's that mean to you?
Silver Spoon, I'm from the suburbs of Detroit, you know. And
Beverly,
you know,
Hills, right?
Always this, yeah, I'm from Blueville Hills, so there's always this, you know, notation that, you know, if people from the suburbs don't work hard, everything is given to them. And that's not necessarily true. I work for everything. I'm going into my seventh year in the NFL based off of work ethic. They didn't give me that because of where I was born or where I was raised. And, you know, we always hear these stories in sports about, you know, the bad situations. But if we look back to LeBron James, I think he dropped a commercial maybe a month ago now that said, what if there were no humble beginnings? Well, if there were no humble beginnings, they would be growing up like me. But you still have to work hard. So Silver Spoon, and I call it the imperfect guide to success, because there is no perfect formula. There is no perfect way. And some of the books, self-help books that I've read, you know, if you follow these certain formats or certain, you know, principles, the way they tell you how to do it, then you'll achieve success. And I don't see it like that. You know, Draymond's in the NBA. I'm in the NFL. Darquez is in the NFL. We all have different paths. We all got there in different ways, but we all set goals. We all achieved our goals. We all have discipline. We all have surrounded ourselves with the right people. So there are some principles that are just within the book that you have to follow, but you don't have to follow them in the way that we did.
That is so true. And you know, Benny, you know, if you want anything in life, you got to work hard for it. And, you know, one of the similarities I see between yourself and Draymond, as far as your pro careers are concerned, I mean, Draymond was a late second round pick. Nobody knew that he was going to become the instrumental part of a dynasty that he has become with the Golden State Warriors. And then yourself, I mean, you know, you were signed by the Denver Broncos as an undrafted free agent in 2014. I mean, both of you had chips on your shoulders when you entered the professional realm of your respective sport. How did that drive you when you did not get drafted and you went as an undrafted free agent going to Denver? How did that drive you to be the kind of impact player that you have become in the pros?
The season that we had at Michigan State, it was just like, you know, I thought I was getting drafted, but, you know, the receivers that ended up getting drafted that year, I mean, we had the most receivers ever get drafted in the NFL draft that year. You know, guys that I play with, like Odell Beckham and a great friend of mine, Allen Robinson, they got drafted in, like, the first two rounds, and I worked out with Sammy Watkins and all these guys. So, you know, receivers just got picked. But I knew that, you know, Detroit offered me the most money. The Lions offered me the most money, but I chose to go to Denver because I had been in Michigan my entire life. So I stepped outside of my comfort zone and realized that if I could go play with Peyton Manning, I knew I could play anywhere in the NFL just because of, you know, Peyton doesn't throw the ball to anybody. You got to earn his trust. You have to understand his offense, ins and outs, hots and sights, audibles. So I knew if I could go play there with him, I could go play anywhere in the NFL. And that, you know, just watching Peyton work every single day inspired me. So, like, you know, we all have to find our inspirations. And, you know, seeing Peyton every single day at 37, 38 years old, work so hard and, you know, just be a great teammate and a great person. That's also why I wrote the book, you know, just being around guys like that. And that's also why I'm getting into public speaking during the off season, because I have so many stories to share and inspire so many people, not from my story, but from the people who I have been around and the things that I've understand and learned to understand.
Oh, that's so great, Benny. And correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you catch the last touchdown pass from Peyton Manning's arm?
Not touchdown pass, but his last pass ever, which was a 2-point conversion in the Super Bowl. I caught his last pass.
Right.
Yeah, in that Super Bowl, Super Bowl 50.
That's what it was, exactly. And you've got a ring, Benny. I mean, there's not too many people walking the face of this earth, and we're just coming off the weekend of the Super Bowl, you know, which we saw Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, you know, win a ring, and their parade is today. I mean, what was that like for you, man? I mean, playing in a Super Bowl and the quarterbacks you've gotten a chance to catch passes from, you know, again, you having careers with the Broncos and you know, the Patriots, the Giants. I mean, what has that been like for you, man? It's kind of, you kind of have to sit back and just kind of pinch yourself, right?
Yeah, that's why I wrote the book, though. You know, I shared things, you know, Kirk Cousins. I played 3 years with Kirk, mm-hmm. who was one of the NFL's best quarterbacks, and then getting the chance to play with Peyton for 2 years. Tom Brady, it was only a week, but it was a great week, and it put a lot of things into perspective with me. And then now getting the chance to finish my last 2 years with Eli Manning, it's been an incredible journey so far. You know, I want to play 10 years, and I plan on playing 10 years, and I got some good things coming up, you know, with free agency this year, you know, just where my coaches and the coaches that I've played for at different teams. So I'm excited about where things are going, but just the fact that I've gotten a chance to play with those quarterbacks, especially starting in college, even Connor Cook, you know.
Yeah.
I played with some of the best. So, you know, I like to share those experiences with other people.
That is so true. I mean, Connor Cook, the most decorated Michigan State quarterback of all time. Then you go to the NFL and play with Peyton, Eli, and Tom for a week. I love that.
Yeah.
That's great stuff, Benny. All right, before we right? Yeah. Before we get you out of here, man, how can people get their hands on your book? Again, Silver Spoon, The Imperfect Guide to Success. How can my audience out there purchase that book?
It's on Amazon. They can order it on Amazon, hardcover or paperback. And also, if they're readers on phones, it's on Kindle as well. And to all the Michigan State people, I will be in East Lansing next Friday and Saturday doing book signings. I will have my Super Bowl ring and my Rose Bowl ring up there with me. And, you know, I'm going back to see my brother coach against Maryland, as well as the basketball team and the football staff and any teammates that I have up there, and just, you know, give back to the community and see the community that I love so much.
That is awesome. Do you have a location for that, Benny, as far as your book signing in East Lansing goes?
Yeah, on Saturday it will be 1-3 at SBS bookstore, and then I'll be at the MSU campus bookstore. I do not have a time for that one yet, but it will be on my social media, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So I will be posting that soon.
Okay, brother, please keep us posted. We got to get you back on the show because I really want to dive more into, you know, your career in the NFL and playing with those fantastic, legendary QBs. And you know, Benny, before we do get you out of here, I'm wondering, I saw Peyton Manning at the NFL Honors this past weekend, just as many athletes have done, many people have done. I mean, this was a man who touched the world. It was certainly, and it still is, a tough time in sports due to the passing of Kobe Bryant. But did Kobe Bryant have any kind of impact on you? You know, when you talk about those values and inspiration, I couldn't help but think about Kobe and his legacy. But I'm wondering if you had any thoughts on the unfortunate passing of Kobe.
Yeah, Kobe is mentioned a couple times throughout my book. He is my favorite athlete of all time. And I'm not just saying that because he passed away. My mom took me to L.A. when I was in the fifth grade because I loved Kobe Bryant so much. So I've been watching Kobe. I never missed a Kobe game when he played in Detroit that I can remember. You know, I'm a huge Lakers fan. I got to see his last All-Star game because that was Draymond's first. So that was Draymond's first experience, All-Star experience. I was there, and that was Kobe's last one. And Draymond actually got me floor seats for one of Kobe's last games in March when they were playing the Warriors. So I've always been a Kobe Bryant fan. I model some of my work ethic after him, just the way I take care of my body, the way I eat, the way I go about my business, understanding the mental side of things. So, you know, when he passed, it like you said, it touched a lot of us. And Yeah, this is my favorite athlete of all time, just the way he went about his business. But now what I'm understanding even more is that who he was as a person. I mean, you're just seeing all the videos that he has with people that aren't celebrities. The fact that he took time out every single day, you know, to make people feel special. That's what I love about him the most. I saw a video of him, you know, the car crash in L.A., and he was helping clean up the wreck and, you know, directing a little bit of traffic. That just shows what type of person he was. So, you know, I love Kobe Bryant, and, you know, even though I never got a chance to meet him, I mean, he had a super huge impact. And the reason why I carry the chip on my shoulder and the reason why, you know, going undrafted, you know, I still watch Kobe videos to this day when I'm on the massage table of him getting treatment and him going about his business. Even though I'm 28 years old, you know, he just inspired me in so many different ways. So, you know, I just thank him for everything that he did as a person and as a player.
Yeah, and that's a great tribute to him that you have him mentioned in your first, hopefully of many books, Benny, because you got a lot of knowledge to share, yeah. Brother. That's awesome stuff. We got to get you back on current sports, okay, in the near future, man. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
All right, the great Benny Fowler. Was that fantastic or what? All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a quick bow on today's current sports. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. That was a great chat that we had with former Michigan State wide receiver Benny Fowler, touching on his new book, as well as Mark D'Antonio's retirement. We even got some Kobe Bryant talk in there. We've got just 30 seconds left, so Ray from Indiana. I'm sorry, Ray, it's got to be real quick. What's up, my man?
Beat again. I'm telling you, look terrible last night. You better go up to Ann Arbor in 3 days and be pissed off and beat their ass. Get eliminated from the playoffs.
All right. Ray from Indiana, of course, touching on the dismal performance from Michigan State men's basketball from last night. You know, I'm kind of happy I didn't get a chance to tackle that. But we will certainly dive more into that loss from Tom Izzo and company on tomorrow's Current Sports. We'll see you on Thursday, folks. As always, have a great afternoon and be easy, people.